Rookie mistake. All right. Well, good morning. It's great to be with all of you this morning. Well, it was a great time of worship, right? You could feel that God was here and is here, and the Holy Spirit is moving. You know, I'm excited to be here. I know Pastor Gary is away, and he's, like we said, he's with his celebrating that retirement with Nate. So we're excited for the family. But hey, we're starting our new sermon series entitled "Transformed," and as we look at that, we're looking at the idea of what it means to be transformed. I don't know how many of you are New Year's resolutions type of people. I'm not personally. I've tried. I'm 46, going to be 47 soon. It's not worked for me. I don't know how it's worked for you, but New Year's resolutions, I get through about February, middle of February, and I just kind of like petered out there. You know, I don't finish strong. So the older I've gotten, New Year's resolutions are kind of like, they're a good idea, and if they're good for you, keep at it, keep working toward that. But for me, I want to find something that's sustainable, right? To reach goals, to become a better person, to become a better husband, to become a better dad, to become a better a pastor. And I want to do that. As each year turns, you know, we kind of have that reflective moment, right? And maybe you're there. Happy New Year, by the way. But as we get to this point, we just think about our lives. You know, what are the ways in which I can improve? What are the ways in which I can become more like Jesus? Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're just tired of, like, I know you, like, I get tired of myself. I just look like, man, I'm getting tired of these ruts that I'm in. Maybe that's you this morning. So that's the whole idea of this new sermon series as we start across all four campuses called Transformed. And the idea behind that is that we want to continue to grow, to be transformed in our relationship, but be transformed individuals in our relationship with Jesus, right? And the idea is that if we're not growing, right, we're not growing each time, we're regressing. If we're not seeking and to become better and to become more like Christ, and we're just stagnating, we're not growing, right? In order for something to grow, there needs to be nurtured and watered and things like that. The same is true for you and I, that we need to continue to be nurtured and be transformed in our relationship with Christ and in day-to-day things that we're going through. But, you know, I don't know, you think about this year, what do you want to change? What do you want to change in your life, right? And I pray that it's, you know, what will change this year? Maybe the books we read, right? Hopefully we're reading some new books or we're listening to that. Or maybe it's the relationships that we have. Maybe there's relationships that we need to reevaluate or maybe need to improve upon. You know, I'd just be honest with you. One of my goals is I really want to, not that I haven't done it in the past, but I want to become more of a devoted father and I'm more of a devoted husband. That's really an important thing to me. So I want to change that. But that doesn't happen until I change the way I think and what's in my heart. And I can't do that on my own. Like I said, I'm in my own strength and my own willpower, I can only get so far and then I just kind of peter out. But I can tell you this, and the same is true for all of us, that in Christ, that if we're transformed in our hearts and minds in it through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can do this. That you can become transformed. You can become a better person. You can become a better Christian. You can become all these things, not in your own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit and the power through Christ. Amen? And so what that's the, you know, you think about how do we get to this change that we really need in our lives, right? How do we get there? How do we do these things, right? If we think about moving from one area of our lives, you know, we're maybe in one section, to actually participating and getting into the game that Christ calls us to. You think of Acrisure Stadium or Heinz Field. How many of you still call it Heinz Field? That's good. That's safe. Yeah. So, you know, you think about being in, I've sat up in the right underneath the Super Bowl flags, right up with my son Luke. We've sat way, way, way up in there, section 500, looking down. Do you remember that? Luke, that was crazy, right? You could barely see the game. The players are like this, right? And then that's often like our lives. We think about we're up in these seats in the Christian faith, right? We're all the way up there that we can see what's going on, right? But God wants to move us from those seats and actually bring us down to the actual playing field. He wants us to get into the game of our lives. And too often that we settle to just being up in those real high chief seats, right? But in the actuality, God wants to transform us, to invite us in, inviting us in to have actually participate and get down in the field and get into this ministry and get into this game of life. He invites us to do that. He invites us into the planning room. And so when Jesus begins to write these things up in us, he has a game plan. He has a purpose for us. And it only happens through that transformation that happens. God brings about these changes in our lives, right? In order to move us from those high cheap seats to get us into the game, he brings about these changes in real time in our lives. There's these small, subtle changes. It's that repentance, that word that we heard tonight, this morning, right? Or getting down on our knees and just asking God to just forgive us of whatever that may be. And so those are the little changes that happen in our lives, that real transformation happens. But it only changes when our perspective shifts and our hearts and minds shifts, because what we look at and what we're thinking about, that's where we're going. And so this morning, we want to think about how might God change you through a change of your perspective and how you view life and how your heart and mind may be this morning. I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe you entered in here or you're just kind of like, I'm tired. It's been a long Christmas break, right? A lot of family time. Maybe it was good, maybe it was bad. Right? But I can tell you this, that God wants to change you, and he wants to bring this perspective shift. Right? So how does God bring about the change in our lives? How does he begin to bring about this transformation in our lives? Right? A lot of times we think it's just this kind of lightning strike moment. Boom, it just happens all of a sudden, right? Boom, pow, zap, it happens. I was this way one way, and now I'm this way. That's typically not how God works. That's typically not how it works. It's this slow, gradual step. It's you're going one way, now you're going another way, right? It's this gradual thing that happens, right? But it begins with a change in our minds. You know, I don't know how you are this morning. I know I need a perspective shift. You know, and I as the new year changed into the, you know, as we went from the old year to the new year, I was like, God, I really want to change. And I know in my own strength, I'm going to fall short. I need you to change the way I'm thinking. And so here's our big idea. This is where we're going in this series. So for today, transformation, right? When you think about the idea of transformation, what that is and what that looks like, transformation is that process of becoming more like Jesus. That's what it is. Transformation is that process of becoming more like Jesus, right, through our relationships, particularly relationships that have meaning or relationships that have impact. You know what I mean by that? We have relationships that kind of lead us down the other way, right? That kind of like we're around somebody just that kind of like, I don't want to, it gives me the creeps, right? Or it just pushes a button. Do you have that relationship in your life that pushes that button? You're like, it's not healthy, right? So what we're saying is we're looking for a transformation through relationships that transform us. When you're around people, when I'm around Doug, I'm inspired, right? When I'm around Doug, I'm inspired, right? He's one of those relationships I have, right? When I'm around my wife, Melanie, I'm inspired, right? So transformation comes through those relationships that impact us. It also comes through renewing of our minds, right? That's a very churchy thing to say. We're renewing of your mind. What does that look like? Hold on, we'll get there, right? And then it's also this. It's this revealing of God's truth. It's the revealing of God's word, getting into God's word to know what who he is and what he says and what it's required of us. And so those are the big ideas. Transformation is a process of becoming more like Jesus through those relationships, the renewing of our mind, and the revealed word of God. And so this is kind of like the launching verse. If you turn in your Bibles or your app, it'll be on the screen. Romans chapter 12. And this is Paul's letter to the church in Rome and the Christians in Rome. And this is one of my personal favorite scripture verses. And in this verse, we see this plea. It's this charge. It's this communication to the people there. And listen to what he's saying. And so it's this perspective shift, this transformation that happens in the individual. Listen to what it says. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship, or your spiritual worship. Listen to this, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so this is kind of our launching point scripture verse for this entire sermon series. And when we think about this, what does that mean, right? And so we have a therefore, you know, this is all based in salvation. Paul is talking to these Christians back then, and he's saying, this is what it comes. This is how salvation happens. This is how you endure persecution. This is how you continue to grow. And so he says this, by the mercies of God, and we pull that apart. It's this idea that God has this compassion. By the mercies of God, he has this compassion on us, and he sees us, and he sees us struggling. He sees the things that we go through. He sees the doubts and fears that we have sometimes, right? And so we have this idea that is this deep feeling that God has toward us. Where does that come from? And you heard this saying that God loves us. His love is unconditional, but God loves us too much to leave us that way. He wants us to move from that sinful condition and to move more like who Jesus is, right? And so he loves us too much to leave us that way, right? I know as a dad, I'm trying to help my son and my daughter to grow into the people they've, independent thinking, Christian, and I want them to move that way. And sometimes I got to say, hey, you got to get your grades up, right? Or you need to clean your room. You need to walk the dog, right? It's not always a fun conversation, you know, but they know I love them. I hope you know that, right? Yeah, you know that. Okay, so... right? But that's the thing. God is the same way. He has this mercy toward us that he loves us unconditionally, loves us, right? But he wants us to become more and more like Jesus. Do you know that this morning? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're feeling you're not worthy. And I want to tell you, God loves you unconditionally. But he doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants to help you to be transformed and live the best you can. Right? He wants you to become more and more like who Jesus is. That's what he loves. And so it says, present your bodies. In another way, your whole self, who you are, and your whole person, your whole soul. He wants you to present that, right? Present your bodies all to God, right? Your whole self. Are you doing that? In 2024, my hope and prayer is that you do, that you present your whole self. Give it to God, your act of worship, your whole self unto him, right? And so we want to simplify our lives. We think about that as we think about we're presenting God our bodies, our whole self. You know, we want to simplify our lives. You know, he wants to present all of me, right? Just not on a Sunday, but every single day of the week, daily. We want to present all these areas. Think about the areas in your life that you can present to God as a spiritual act of worship, right? Your faith, the spiritual part of who you are, your emotional part. When you go up and down, when you feel low, when you feel excited, you can present that. Your physical well-being, right? I'm just getting on the other side of Achilles surgery. I got to get back into shape. That's one of my goals, right? Your mental, right? Having a mental, you know, submitting your mental part of your relational parts of your life, right? Submitting that to God. And then the other one is your financial, right? I believe this. Like, it's important for us to get our finances in order, right? It's important for us to submit that to God. There have been many times in ministry where, I don't know if you know this, pastors don't make a lot of money. But here's what I do know, that we're all called, not just pastors, but we're all called to tithe and give generously, right? And so my wife and I have committed that over the years. That's been a part of who we are, that we just give. It doesn't always make sense sometimes, but as we've gone, we've given generously, God has transformed our thinking, right? There have been times where our furnaces have gone out or a car problem has happened. We don't have the money. Guess what? Somebody, some way provides, and God provides in through other people, right? And so it's just this renewed thought, right? Presenting ourselves, and God begins to do that and transform that. How about vocationally? What you do for a living? Right? You just kind of trudge through life. Do you feel that way? You just go to your job and trudge through that? I know that's got to be hard, but I want to encourage you to look at your job, to have a kind of a perspective shift, the way you look at your job. Work as you're working unto the Lord, right? And watch how your perspective will shift from the day to day. God will transform the way you have a vocational outlook on things. And then it says this, do not be conformed. That's interesting, right? I love that part of it. Do not be conformed, it says, to the patterns of this world. And we could, that could be a whole sermon, right? All the patterns of the world that are bad, right? We could talk about that. But there's blueprints that the world has, right? You know, it's a consumeristic culture. It's a hedonistic culture. There's some blueprints there. And there's blueprints that the world has for us to get our mind, our money, our minds, our time, all those different things. And here's the thing, Paul is saying in this passage, don't conform to these patterns, these blueprints that the world has for you to get your money, your thoughts, whatever it is, right? Don't conform to that. Conform to the ways of God. Conform to what I have put in Scripture for you. Conform to what the Holy Spirit is leading you to. Not those blueprints that the world gives us. Like the world, you know, they have this outward expression, right? They say, hey, if you do this, if you buy this certain thing, you'll feel this way. Take this pill, you'll feel great. Or you'll lose this weight. No, right? So we're to reject that, not to conform to those patterns, right? And the systems and the structures that will say it will be better if, but it never does. It leaves us empty, does it? The hole that it leaves. How about this? It says, be transformed. I love that word. The word metamorpho, the Greek word metamorpho, is this. Think of a little caterpillar that starts as an egg, and then it turns into a caterpillar, and then goes to the larva stage, or pupa, I think it is, and then it goes into a beautiful butterfly, right? There's a progression, right, of transformation that happens. Metamorpho means that changing from and keeping it within a reality, right? Begin to change from the inside. There's this transformation. This is bigger than New Year's resolutions. This is bigger than just trying to do it on your own self, right? We're submitting to God. We're presenting ourselves, our whole being, so he would transform us, to take us from one stage in our lives to making us more and more like Jesus. I want that. That's why we're doing this sermon series. We want that for you too, right? So we're excited for this. So there's this transformation that happens. Think of the caterpillar moving to a butterfly. That's a metamorphosis that happens in an individual's life. That's what Paul is meaning here. He wants us this change to become from where we were to becoming more and more like Christ. And so there's this renewing of the mind, right? To make fresh, to make new. That's what Paul is saying here. He wants our minds to be new. I know my mind can get so tired and foggy, right? I want God to renew my heart and my mind. But change happens. Listen, how do we get there? How do we get to this change? How do we get to this transformation? But change happens when we stop, we make the decision, we put the line in the sand and said, I'm not going to conform any longer to the patterns of this world. We have to have the unction. We have to have the want to. We have to have some desire. We have some skin in the game, right? We have to decide, I'm not going to conform to the patterns of this world any longer, right? That's when change happens. And then we begin to truly and earnestly seek, as we heard today, when we begin with repentance and make new wine out of me, right? These are the things. We begin to seek transformation and seek the ways of God, and he'll begin to move into your heart and mind. But you have to have that unction to want that. You just can't talk about it. You have to actually want that and desire that and seek God for that. So the tension is this. Maybe there's some of you here this morning that desire for that change to be lasting, right? That you want more and more of Jesus in your life, but you're just not sure how to do that. Maybe you're stuck into an adjustment phase and you're just tired. Maybe you need God to move your thinking and shift it, right? Maybe some of us we were desire right this morning. Maybe God said, God, transform me. Transform my heart and my mind, the perspective, how I look at life. Transform it, make it new. I'm tired of this. And so this morning, maybe that's you. But transformation happens when we have a mind and our hearts shift and focus on who God is. You know, in this past month, I've been, you know, in a lot of prayer, and there's been a lot of decisions and made at the church and about, like, what we're going to do in this transition period, right? And I've been, God, give me a transformation shift. Give me a different perspective on what it means for me and my family, right? So we spent a lot of time in prayer and discussion with Pastor Gary and Donna and Pastor Rick and Natalie and Doug and Leanne. And so it's been great, and others, many others. We just having different perspective shifts and perspectives from others, right? And sometimes we need that in our lives, but we have to have that, you know, and ultimately spending time with the Lord and saying, God, what do you want from my life? But here's the thing, Mel and I, it took an intentional effort on our part, right? It is part of the deal as Jesus loves us unconditionally, but there's this unction that he wants us to do. He wants us to step out and follow him, right? And so that we need to do that. And so we need to have this transformation mindset. But my prayer is to have God transform my heart and my mind and the way in which I live daily. My heart and prayer for you is that your life will be changed and transformed as you seek him. I don't know what you're going through. God does. But I can tell you this morning, he wants to transform that. He wants to give you a perspective shift, a different way of looking at your life situation and your life circumstances now. He wants you to see him in those circumstances. That's what he wants. I love the passage in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. It says this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiling faces, behold the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Spirit, from the Lord, who is the Spirit," right? And so God's desire in this transformation, and God's desire for wherever you are right now, is he wants to lead you in freedom. You know, I don't know how you feel. Do you ever feel like you're just enslaved to your life situation right now? It's tough, right? And so here's the thing, God's desire, God's nature, that he truly wants freedom for you. And he promises that in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? He promises that through the Spirit. He wants to deliver us. He wants to deliver us from that kind of that heaviness and that awfulness that we feel, right? And they're coming up, we have the Power Conference. We have the Power Conference coming up. This is going to be a great time where we're going to talk about two different things at this Power Conference. I encourage you to go. We're talking about what it means to be transformed, but we're going to talk about physical things and healing. We're going to talk about schemes and strongholds, maybe from your family or alcoholism or whatever it is, but we're going to talk about that and the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you that power, not in your own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome those things. We're excited for this conference. I pray that you get signed up. Doug will be talking more about that at the end of the service, but you know, it's this change comes little by little, incremental, one degree at a time, one little degree by degree, you know. That's where it happens. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. Sometimes it does, I recognize that. But for the most part, it's changes little by little, day by day, little decision after little decision. That's how change comes. You think of a big boat in the ocean, right? In order for this boat to go a certain way and reach its destination or change its trajectory, they don't just quickly turn the wheel, do they? What do? Little adjustments to the way in which they're sailing or moving in the ocean. And over time, the boat begins to change and move direction. It's a little degree, a little shift and turning, and that's what it is for us. If you're going to make a significant change, you need to seek the Lord, but it's going to be a daily progression, day by day, day by day. Amen? So we think about that. You know, we go from there's this light as we take these little progressions, we become brighter and brighter. We go from dimwit to litwit, right? We begin to make this change. We get to see light and change happen in our lives. We see things differently, relationships and healing and all of these things. But it takes that gradual time. Maybe even your relationship with your spouse or your kids, right? It's not going to happen all the time, but if you continue to stay with it and ask God to give you that direction, that you'll begin to behold that change, right? Transformation comes from that relationship with and to Jesus, right? When we look at Jesus, we look at what he was like, right? We look at his life. We look at what he provided on the cross as we took communion this morning. It's a reminder that change happened for us and in us and through us, right? But a lot of times what happens is when we begin to make these little things, what happens over time? We get stressed out. We get distracted. Stinking thinking might set in, doesn't it, right? Stinking, I can't do this, right? I don't deserve this. You ever say these things? Who am I, right? We begin to have these things, but God says, hey, I want you to continue not to keep distance and isolate yourself, but I want you to push in and seek me for this transformation, right? I want you to not just stay up in the cheap seats, but move closer to me down into the field. That's what he desires for you in your life. And so he wants us to continue to look for that relationship. So the big idea, as we said, is that transformation is that process of becoming more like Christ through relationships. Meaningful, impacting relationships. I want you to just sit there for a second. What are the relationships in your life that are meaningful and impacting and inspiring? Right? And I want you to think about that. Those are the relationships we have. We want to seek those types of relationships, right? In Romans 12:1, it says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, right? Transformation happens best in community and relationships. It does. It really does. I know we're looking for, we live in a culture where we think that we can do things on our own. I'll just keep to myself. We isolate ourselves, right? But that's what true transformation happens in community in relationships. It truly does. We think about that. In a year from now, we will be a changed people, how we relate to one another, right? By what we, how we interact and how we interact with God and the books we read, the podcasts we listen to. Because of those interactions, we'll be able to see truth and be able to develop in our relationships with one another. We grow faster when we have a discipler or a coach in our life, right? We grow faster. We have someone to speak in your, I want to ask you this question. Do you have someone in your life that is discipling you, that is calling you up, that is challenging you in a biblical, healthy way? Do you have that person in your life? Right? And that's good. I'm glad you do. Right? So here's the thing. Starting February 4th, we have our connection group kickoff. I want to encourage you all. I'm the connection group kind of director for all four campuses. And Brighton Heights becomes the hub, essentially, right? So I would love for you all, I want to challenge you just this morning, that more groups and more people seeking to grow, to be transformed, to seeking transformation through relationship through one another. Look around this room. Look around this auditorium. This is who we do life with, right? And there's some others that aren't here, right? But God has placed each one of us in relationship right now for this purpose. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, right? And so that's how we're going to have this transformation is through relationship. I can tell you this, my family, we're excited to get to know all of you. We're excited. It's going to take some time, but we're excited. You know, and I hope you're excited. I hope that you see that God has placed you here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights, to do relationship with it. You think biblically, where are some examples of maybe biblical examples? Well, you have Joshua and Moses, you have Solomon and David, you have Elijah and Elisha, and then you have Paul and Timothy. You know, this is a biblical standard, an example. Now, of course, Jesus and his disciples. So that transformation happens as we're doing life together in community with one another. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12 says this. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. In verse 12, it says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And so one of the most beautiful things is when the body of Christ functions as a body of Christ. When it's at work, being the hands and feet of Jesus, right? And working to equip, right? Part of that connection group, we're doing big ideas. We're studying books of the Bible. We're studying other books that are helping us grow. But we're equipping one another how to handle life. These groups are to help transform us to become sharper for Christ. And I invite you to be part of that. And so in community, right? We often think that you have to have it all together. Have you ever thought that? You got into a place and you're like, these people have it all together. Well, here's the thing. I want to tell you that I'm a pastor that doesn't have it all together. I don't. I'm a weak, broken man. I'm redeemed and renewed, a new creation in Christ. I don't have it all together, so I hope you don't view me like that. But that's what we're hoping, that you see the church, Bridge City Church particularly, as a group of people that are struggling, right, who are looking to be redeemed, they're looking to, a hospital for the hurt and the sinner, right? That's what the church is supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be, is this community. And so when you see transforming community happen, you're seeing a lot of people that don't have it all together, right? And you give one another grace to be who they are, right? And so that's what it is, right? It's important not to have that attitude. And that's kind of an attitude a lot of the churches have, that they feel like they have it all together and it's unapproachable. Like, I can never be in that person's group. Look at them, you know? But Christ invites you to come as you are. He loves you. He doesn't want you to stay that way, but he wants you to come and be part of this group. And I love this church. I love this church. And I pray that you would see that God has given this community to you to help you be transformed. The other thing, God gives us one another, for God gives us forgiveness, and we get healing through one another, right? As we do community, we understand what it means to forgive one another, and that's an important thing, right? In John, 1 John 1, it says, God is faithful and just to forgive us. That's an example that he gives, right? James 5, 16, confess to one another, as we were talking about preparing our hearts for communion, confession, helping us to be able to be healed. And so, I don't know where you are this morning. Like, if you're looking to be in a church that allows you to be who you are, but it also helps you to be challenged to become more like Christ, that's where we want for you to have that transformation, right? What if we became a community of believers? at Bridge City Church that could confess our struggles and doubts and struggles in faith and all these different things that we have, maybe the rough sides of us. We can just confess that, right? That we can call one, not call one another out, but we call one another up to be more like Christ. What if we became a community that was less certain that we know everything and we're biblically sound and we have it all together? All those are important, don't get me wrong, right? But we're trusting more and more in who God is, that we'd act like we don't have it all together, but we're gonna take that step of faith in who God is. Faith is trust, and we're not always certain, but have that relationship in community. We don't always know where we're going, but we're going to have that faith that we're going to love one another and see Christ in that. And so that's what relationships. You know, when you're, how do you find a coach or how do you find that someone to do life with? Find someone that is a step ahead of you, right? For me, it's Pastor Rick, Pastor Gary. I've kind of got to be able to do life with them. They're a step ahead of me. We're on the same road, but they're a little further ahead. And they're investing in me, and I appreciate that. So I want to encourage you that. If you're looking for someone to invest in you and to do community with, look for someone who is a step ahead of you. And so the other one is to find someone that can speak into your life, that has earned the right to be heard, right? That you trust. Find someone that maybe it's here, maybe it's somewhere else, but find that person that can speak into your life in a good way. The second point is this, is that the relationships that bring perspective and help us change and help us different focus. But the second one is this, is that helps us become more like Jesus. There's this renewing of the heart and mind, the renewing of the heart and mind. Someone said it's the longest distance, right? The travel is the head and heart to mind to connect to finally make sense. But transformation is that process of becoming more and more like Jesus, right? But it requires new thinking. And sometimes that's hard for us to do, right? It's hard for us to shift our thinking. We might be like concrete mixed up and set, right? But Christ says, hey, I want to challenge you. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what it means to have a different perspective in your life. Maybe in 2024, that's what God's calling you to do. Has changed the way you think about things or the way you see yourself or the way you see the church or the way you even see the world, right? We had a meeting with our pastors and leaders, and we have doubled the number of salvations and baptisms from 2022 to 2023. Amen. But that started when we're going to say we're going to care about souls. We're going to make souls a priority, make sure people understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus so they could be transformed, that they have the experience of baptism, which is an outward expression of their inward faith. And so it takes that of this renewed heart and mind and the way we look. You know, I want to challenge you this morning that it's going to require a different way to think in your life, right? So it starts with how we think. How we think is going to help us go through all the different battles that we might face. And it's going to help our attitudes, the attitude of our heart. The attitude of our heart has to shift. You know, sometimes that we show up, but we don't want to get involved, right? We don't want to serve. We're just going to kind of stay up in those cheap seats. But I'm telling you that God wants you to get involved. As you're part of the body of Christ, he wants you to change your mind, but he also wants you to get involved in the way you think. That these attitudes should be a reflection of your mind, that it's focused on Christ. What I love in Ephesians 4:22, it says this: throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. And so there's this renewing that we need to have, right? And that we truly have to ask God, renew my heart, renew my thoughts, renew my attitudes. I know I need that this morning. I need God to renew my... So that renewal is this completion of making something whole. And the biblical word is proper, going to a higher stage, that you were here, but you're going to this higher stage. That's this what this renewing is of the heart and the attitude. And so that's what Christ is doing. He says, hey, I want you to go from here. I want you to go to this next level. And it's going to take thinking. It's going to take a change the way you think. And it's going to take some effort, right? And here's the thing. You can do this, right? You can do this because of Christ calls you to, and you can do this because the Spirit is in you, right? And so it's almost like this sanctified reasoning that we're required to have, and I love that idea, right? How about this? So you think about in your life, what are the things that are controlling you? Or maybe even another way to say it is, what are the things in your life that you're giving your most attention to at your house, right? Are you watching a lot of political things? Are you a lot of scrolling? Facebooking, checking the likes? Are you giving your attention to that? Maybe it's TV or movies or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but we have to check that. What am I giving my time to, right? And that's why we're doing this prayer and fasting thing. We want you to kind of check ourselves. And we want to say, okay, I'm not going to give myself to all these different things, but I'm going to try to have a renewed thought in the way in which I'm spending my time. I'm going to have a transformed outlook of my heart and mind. So whatever we're putting in, it's going to come out eventually, right? And so the true view that you have is opposite of the conventional wisdom. You are not defined by these things, right? You're not defined. When you die, you're not going to go to Washington, D.C., right? You're not going to go. When you die, you're not going to go to Heinz Field or Acushore, right? You're going to be with Christ, right? You're going to be with Christ if you have a relationship with him. And so, see, he wants us to give our try to change the way we act, the try to change the way in which we give our hearts and minds to things in our lives, and you're going to watch. Little by little, you will change. Little by little, things will begin to happen in your life, and I love that, right? And it's not more willpower. It's not Pittsburgh blue-collarness. It's none of that, right? It's the Holy Spirit that changes us, right? But you just have to be the willing, humble vessel to let God use you. Are you that this morning? Are you willing to let God change your heart and mind and your thinking, right? In 2 Corinthians 13, right, Jesus was crucified in weakness. We're all weak. Like, this should give you hope. Like, I confess to you, I'm a weak pastor. I don't have it all together, right? But Jesus, I can say this with confidence, Jesus in 2 Corinthians 13 was crucified in weakness, but was resurrected in power, right? And then that gives me hope. That gives me the hope to continue to move on, right? That his power is perfect in weakness, right? That your weakness, God will use as a strength in your life. That you, if you just allow him to shift the way you look at yourself. And so real transformation happens when we have a renewed heart and mind, and we have relationships that are renewed. And then the third one is this, is that there's a God's revealed word, that his truth, if we have an understanding of God's revealed word, this will bring about discernment. Discernment is the spiritual understanding. We'll be able to look at things and say, that doesn't look right, or that doesn't sound right. And that only becomes familiar to us the more and more that we get into God's word and reveals who he is to us. And so through God's word, we are set free, right? You think about the areas in your life. You think about all those areas in your life that we need to know what God says about. You know, a lot of times we might not understand what giving and tithing is all about, right? It has such a negative connotation outside the church walls to 80s televangelists, right? And that's not what it's about, right? It's not about that. There's so much freedom and transformation that happens when we think about our finances. What God says about marriage, how husbands are to love their wives and lead their families, right? Sex life, vocation, time management, right? Being a friend, right? Accountability, confession, all these different things. God's word. We don't know that until we get into God's word. The world is going to be able to give you all their philosophies and all their patterns, right? But for us as the believer, we're called to know God's truth. Well, Pastor, I'm not a reader. I want to challenge you on that. Get into God's word and read. We live in a great time where there's apps that'll read to you. That's crazy, right? You can be in your car listening on Bluetooth and they will read to you the word of God. But you have to become more and more a student. I want to challenge you to have a faith that seeks understanding. What that means is I'm going to have a faith that I'm going to seek God. I'm going to seek who he is. And I'm going to read his word to get to know who he is so I can understand who I am, so I can impact his world for the greater good. But you have to be the student. You have to have that unction and that want to get into God's word. Blow the dust off of your Bible. Get into that Bible. Read it. Read it and watch what happens. Little by little, you'll become a student. You don't need a Bible. I've been to seminary twice. It's tough, right? You don't need to have a Bible doctorate or degree or anything like that. All you need to do is have that attitude of the heart that you desire to get to know who God is, right? And he will begin to work in your heart and mind. So hold. Hebrews 4:15 says, hold to the truth, become more and more like Jesus. Hold to the truth. Hold that. You know, you think of, pardon the sports analogy, holding on to the football and not fumbling it. We want to hold on to God's truth like that. Or when you're holding your child or grandchild or whatever it may be, we want to hold on to God's truth the same way, because in it there's life and there's freedom. Right? And through God's word, we can defeat these self-defeating behaviors that are based on a lie. You know, there's a lot of things in our life that we identify with a lie about ourselves, about maybe even who God is or what the definition of success is or love or marriage, right? But every time I believe the world or a lie, I'm caught in harmful behaviors. Have you ever been there? That you believe those lies and you get caught, right? But the truth will set you free. And you find that in God's word. And you find that through relationship with Christ, right? Jesus stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? The truth is a person, right? The more we know him, that Jesus is the standard, the more and more we'll be able to align ourselves and cling to him when the world throws all their stuff at us. And we'll be better for it. And you'll be transformed. But you've got to have that change of heart. You've got to change a heart and mind to get into God's word so he'll reveal that truth to you. In 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to invite Quentin up. And 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. I have plenty wrong in my life, I can tell you that. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. And God uses that to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And so that's a gift that God has given us, is his word. And we have to like see it that way, have a transformed perspective that God's revealed word will set us free and give us a good direction in our lives. My prayer is that you fall in more and more in love with the word of God, that you'll be a Christian who has a desire to have a faith that seeks understanding, not to have knowledge that puffs up, that you're some Bible quizzer, right? That's good, but there's more to it, that you read and desire to know who God is through hungering and to be a student after his word. There are five ways that the word of God transforms us or helps us. Number one is that we get to see what truth is, right? What is the truth? We get to see that. It makes us realize when we're off the path. You ever think about that in your life when you with the word of God says, hey, I'm off the wrong path. I'm not where I should be. We come up to the altar and pray, right? The word of God will help you. It'll help transform you and get you back on the right path, right? Or even this, that maybe you haven't picked up your Bible in a while. It's okay. Just begin again. Begin today. He wants you to begin again. It straightens us out. It corrects us. It kind of shakes out that stinking thinking. It wipes us clean, right? It corrects us and teaches us what is right. The word of God will teach you what is right. It'll show you. You'll see that when you hear. You ever hear a guitar chord that's out of tune? Doesn't sound good. The word of God will help that. It will just sound lovely to you. And it prepares us and equips us and heals us. I know there's some of you in here this morning that need to be healed. That maybe you went through a long Christmas, maybe you went through a long year and you need healed. And God offers us this transformation to be healed from that. That if we're open to that and say, God, I desire to be healed from that. Would you transform my situation? Will you redeem my situation? And he wants to do that. And my prayer is that you want to be transformed, that you'll be able to figure out and get through your struggles, and that your marriages will be better, that your relationships will be better, how you relate to one another in this church will be better. You'll view how you work at your vocation better, that maybe you're a college or high school or middle school student here, that you won't see that as a drag, but you'll see this, that God has called you to be a student right now, and he wants to make it good. But I'm telling you this, that God wants to transform you. And there's some things that we need just to get rid of this morning. I want to invite you to stand. There's practical ways that we can be transformed. And I love that we've already talked about it. We sang about it. That we need to get rid of. We need to get rid of things. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you need to just get rid of something that you're giving too much attention to. Or maybe not enough attention to. But you need to put an intentional emphasis on that in your life. Maybe you need to ask God to help build your faith. Say, God, please help me. I'm weak right now. I can't do this on my own. He sees you. He knows what you're going through. He desires you to be stronger and have that freedom for what you're dealing with. The goal was transformation. The goal was to be more and more like Christ and less like ourselves. And that's what he wants for you this morning. He wants you to be transformed, your heart, your mind, your relationships, that you can know that because of the Word of God. He wants to heal you. He wants to bring healing right where you are this morning. And I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And maybe some of you are here this morning and have never had a relationship with Jesus. You're like, what are you talking about? But I want that. And I just want to, just heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you this morning, I just want to raise your hand. I want to pray with you right now. And then we're going to have other people come up and pray with you. Amen. Maybe this, and this is for most of you here this morning, that maybe you need God to renew and transform your life, maybe in some area. I don't know where that is. You do. And as I pray, I just want you to just offer that to God right where you are. Make your seat an altar. Just say, God, transform me in this area. Restore my perspective. Refresh my perspective in my life. Father, I just pray right now, everyone here. You know our condition of our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know our anxious ways, as it was said. Father, I just pray that you would transform our relationships. You know the relationships, my Lord. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would transform them. Little by little, Lord, I pray that you would begin to transform relationships and restore broken homes and marriages and relationships with kids and friends. Lord, bring about healing right now. I pray for perspective shifts and renewed minds and hearts. May you change our perspective in the way in which we see life and feel life around us. Lord, may we see it differently than we did in 2023, but in this year, 2024, Lord, would you renew our perspectives? Would you transform us from the inside out? Would you empower us with the Holy Spirit? That people would notice us and see Christ in us and less of ourselves. And Father, I pray that we would be Christians that have a desire to know you more through your word, that we would have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, but we'd have a hunger and a thirst to know you in and through your word. That you'd be able to help us and correct us and inspire us and Lord, to help us have a faith that seeks understanding of who you are so we can understand who we are, that we can go and impact the world. And so, Father, I pray right now, whomever needs this, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would draw near and transform them right now. And I pray as we go our ways this morning, Lord, that you would just inspire us to not just stay in the cheap seats, but to get involved, to move closer to you, to press into you, to draw near to you in these days, in the year ahead. And so, Father, I pray that you bless them as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.